I just want to take a second and thank Policy Genius. They're supporting today's episode of Success Story. I know we all have kids, we all have families we want to take care of, and I personally checked something off major on my to-do list, life insurance. It's a tough topic, it's really hard to think about, but it's so important. And the hard part was sorting through all the options. Luckily, I found Policy Genius. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that makes getting life insurance surprisingly easy. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Now, knowing my family's protected brings me incredible peace of mind. Don't put off this important decision. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Welcome to the Success Story Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Clary. On this podcast, I have candid interviews with execs, celebrities, politicians, and other notable figures, all who have achieved success through both wins and losses, to learn more about their life, their ideas, and their insights. I sit down with leaders and mentors and unpack their story to help pass those lessons on to others through both experiences and tactical strategy for business professionals, entrepreneurs, and everyone in between. Without further ado, another episode of the Success Story Podcast. All right. Thanks again for joining me. I am sitting down with Carson Rowland. Now, Carson, you may have seen him on Tweet. You may have seen him on I Am Frankie. And you will be seeing him on Sweet Magnolias, which is an upcoming Netflix series. Very excited to speak with Carson. Obviously, a long career in acting, but also just a very talented guy, a very talented individual. He has a Bachelor of Science in Neuroscience from Florida Atlantic University. He is a talented musician. So if you check out his YouTube, which I just discovered, he's an incredible singer. I'm not sure if he songwrites, but we'll find out. He does it all. So, you know, I'm really just excited to, you know, learn your story, Carson, understand how you built out who you are today. You're still relatively young in your career, but you've done a lot. So thank you for sitting down. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah, for sure. No, I really am just impressed because you've not only built out an acting career, you're a smart guy too. Neuroscience, I'm assuming, is not an easy degree to get through. I don't think that anybody would ever say that. So you obviously have some career plan set out for you now. You're continuing to expand. Walk me through who you are, your story, how you came to be, everything. Let's start from day one and go from there.
Yeah, well, of course. So, how I got involved in the arts was all my parents. They, my mom was fairly artistic, but never really pursued it. My dad is a doctor, so arts were never in our family before them. But my mom, when we were we being all the siblings were probably around 4 or 5. They put us in like musical theater. And so that's kind of what we did. And I fell in love with it. I mean, from a young age, I love performing. And I have vivid memories of me being 6 or 7, just on stage performing and just me falling in love with it. And so I pursued that. And my brother, who's older than me, he's 2 years older than me, is also very, very talented, very artistic. And so he was singing and I was kind of following in his footsteps. And before long, we were booking these big musical theater productions by the time we were 8 or 9. And so we were doing small tours around South Florida performing, which was just amazing. And that lasted for quite a number of years. And then I was homeschooled during that time because of being heavily involved in musical theater. And then I decided to go to school. And then I was doing theater there, also sports and stuff like that. But I really, really enjoyed performing and being on stage and entertaining. But that whole time, I never really envisioned it as a career option. It was just something I loved doing. And that you mentioned Tweet, which I haven't thought of in so long. Luckily, one of my friends who I did a musical with, I mean, back when I was probably 8 or 9 or maybe younger, mentioned my name to someone who was casting Tweet. And so I auditioned, I booked the role. And then a manager was on set one day, and she's like, hey, I would love to sign you. So then ever since that, I've been auditioning. And that's when it really, my mind really changed on how I could use entertaining to be a career rather than just a form of expression and a form of pleasure. Throughout this though, I have a degree, or I'm about to get my degree in neuroscience. I graduate in August, so not fully done yet.
Well, congratulations! It's still impressive. So don't shrug off a bachelor's in neuroscience. So, and this is, you know, you're doing this while you're doing this degree while you're doing everything else.
Yes, exactly. And that's been probably the most difficult part about my whole life, the past 4 years. And it's been such a blessing in order to balance the two, acting and in school, because it's just been. The timing has been perfect, because whenever I'm on a hiatus from a show or not filming, I can always come back and do a semester in person or do it online. I've been online for the past 4 years. So that's been an incredible blessing. And even when I started gaining relative success in acting and performing, I always thought like getting my degree was such an important thing to do. And also like a very, very strong backup plan. Like I said before, my dad is a doctor. And growing up, I said this before in a couple of interviews, and it's just so fun, because my dad did this thing called rounds. He would go to the hospital and he would visit different patients and stuff like that, just check up on them. And he would bring his kids along. And so all the patients would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And of course, like being with my dad, I would say a doctor. So I think that's still on the table. I would love to, if things don't work out, like I have a solid plan B. So that's awesome. But balancing the two was really difficult, because back in like 2017, I was in LA. I just finished the first season of I'm Frankie. And then a week later, after we wrapped, I come back to Florida and I'm studying biochemistry. I was studying organic chemistry.
Yeah.
And so like that change was really crazy, but, doing it is just such a blessing. It's been so fortunate to keep both like my artistic side, and my intellectual side occupied at the same time, which has been amazing.
That is some left brain, right brain shit right there. That's the Now, how do you, or I guess my question is there something in the way you've just been schooled, been raised, your parents, that have allowed you to effectively manage so much, so different, while being successful at both? You're graduating, you're achieving some level of fame.
Yeah.
What do you think is your trick, your secret that allows you to do both? Because for a lot of people, doing one of those things is already incredibly difficult.
Yeah. Well, I think, and I was thinking about this and how this podcast is called Success Story. And I'm honestly so honored to be on this a podcast just called this, because I look at myself and I don't really consider myself a success story yet, but
in the making is also acceptable.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's just so humbling to be on this. And I was thinking about this and just the name of the podcast. And I really think the success doesn't come from me. I really think it comes from my family and the culture my family has created. I mean, you look at both grandparents on my dad's side and my mom's side. My mom's side, my grandpa worked in construction. I mean, he worked a couple jobs just to try to like put food on the table. My grandma worked as well. I mean, just trying to raise the three kids. And then my mom was the first one in their family to graduate college. And then look at my dad's side, my dad's dad, my grandpa worked three jobs as well. And while the mom was taking care of six children, I mean, the success doesn't start with me. I mean, it starts with my family and like how hard, I mean, I've worked hard to get where I am. Yes. But my grandparents have worked infinitely harder than I have. And because of that hard work and because of the hard work of both my parents, my dad was the first one to go to graduate school. He went to medical school, paid his undergrad, paid his medical school all himself. And because of his hard work and dedication, I was able to pursue the things I love to do. And that's the success here. The success isn't me. The success is of my family and how they groomed this culture in my personal family to let us accomplish amazing things. I mean, you look at I have a twin sister who, at the age of 14, moved to New York City to train to be a professional ballet dancer. And then right when she turned 18, she moved to LA we actually moved to LA together to dance with, she danced with Los Angeles Ballet while I was pursuing acting. And I have a little sister who's just the most incredible ballet dancer, who is now in North Carolina training to be a ballet dancer. And she's just, she's won all sorts of competitions, is getting global, is being recognized globally for her talent in ballet. And I have my brother who is a collegiate baseball player and is now starting his own business. I mean, it's not just me, it's my family who has really created this. And I honestly, like you said, the secret is my family, and we're in the culture they created and how they've really supported what I what my interests are. And even, I know in the beginning when I first started gaining success in acting, when I booked the Nickelodeon show I'm Frankie, my whole family, grandparents, aunts and uncles included, when I was out in LA, they're like, Carson, when are you coming home? You need to study. Come on, get your degree. Like, what's going on? And my dad calls me and he goes, hey, look, I work 60 hours a week and it's really tough on me emotionally, stressful. You know, it's
physically too. It's going to wear you down. Yeah.
He's actually put himself in the hospital because he's been so stressed sometimes. It's a hard job. And he's done that for his kids. And he said, man, look, if you can make a living doing what you love to do, go for it. And so having that he's probably my favorite man in the world. I mean, just having him say that was just incredible. And having him fully engage in what I love to do, I mean, that's the success. And he's been able to groove me to like work my hardest. And I know it sounds cliche, but it's just, that's the success here.
Yeah. So, it's a good answer, and I appreciate the answer a lot. I think it's incredible that you're understanding like all the contribution, and just I like the word the culture of the family drives success, drives performance. Now, when you start on a new path into a new venture, like I say venture, like acting, singing, these are things that your family does not know, but yeah. you're still killing it in these initiatives. So what steps do you take to understand, like, how do you align yourself with the right people who know, because you're still young in your career, you want to be successful, but in particular, when you're going into acting, it's not like you, even if you're going to another industry outside of medicine, right? There's a lot of defined paths that you can take. And yeah. You see so many issues with people that get successful at a young age, especially in the arts. So how do you make sure that that doesn't happen, that you align with the right people, that the people that, you know, are managing your career and whatnot, obviously your parents have an interest, but they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
So who do you find? Where do you go? How do you make sure that everything sort of lines up properly?
Yeah, of course. And so like when I first moved to LA, I did have friends out there, and that were quality friends from the Nickelodeon show I did. And that's the most important thing, is finding people that are doing what you love to do or doing what you're aspiring to do, and kind of emulate them. So I had some friends that are really successful, and I just asked questions, and I was on the phone figuring out like what to do before I even moved out to LA. I had a list of people that I wanted to connect with. I sent several emails just to make sure like I was doing the right thing, because it is a shot in the dark, essentially. I mean, you'd have to really set a path. And I hate the thing I hate most is the future and how ambiguous it can be. I love knowing what is happening. And so moving out to LA and having kind of this thing that's just up in the air was tough, and was a real struggle. But I was able to connect with really good people. And that's the thing, is having this support system intact. So if things do go wrong and you have this kind of emotional...
It's a network. It's like a strong network.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a time in LA where I was sitting around I was auditioning, but things weren't going my way. I was in acting classes, you know, trying to make myself, just kind of groom myself and learn my craft more. And things weren't going my way. I mean, it was tough. I was just, every audition was, I heard nothing back. And for 4 or 5 months, and it was tough. And I know you talk to any actor in Hollywood, and they've been through that. And the rejection is really hard. And that's why a lot of people in Hollywood kind of go down the wrong path. And that's why it's so important, especially in Hollywood, to find those good friends. And I was fortunately able to do that. And I've made some of my best friends just kind of growing. We're all going through like similar situations at the same time. And we can empathize with each other. And just through that experience, I made some of my best friends.
And then when you, and that's a very good lesson for quite literally anybody in any industry or anything starting out, like the network, like just aligning with the right people, learning, emulating, like these are all very good things. And it's good that you've learned them. That I think that's very important.
Yeah.
Now, as you grow your career, is it strategic in a sense where, you know, you've ventured into music now, you know, Sweet Magnolias. I have no idea what that's really about. I'm gonna probably now watch it because we spoke. But I mean, like, was that a purposeful move in a career for an actor to move into a type of show like that? Was it just the next opportunity that came? Was the music something that you've always wanted to do, or was that a purposeful move because that's part of, like, you know, your persona, your brand? How do you make those decisions in your career when, again, it's not defined? I'm curious, yeah, like what you go through.
Of course. So what happened with music, I filmed a small Lifetime movie, and the producers of that show also owned a record label. And so their daughter was starring in the movie as well. So I'd bring my guitar to set sometimes and we'd sing and mess around. And then a couple months later, they're like, hey, we want you to do a duet with our daughter. Mm-hmm. And so we sang this song. And after, they're like, hey, we love your voice. We love your sound. Do you want to sign to the record label? And that was amazing because I was in school at the time in South Florida, and I had kind of nothing going on. We just finished the season two of the Nickelodeon show. It was really slow, and I was kind of gearing back towards, okay, medical school is the option. But I was able to find this outlet to do something that I've always loved. Like I've been taking guitar lessons and piano lessons since I was 7 years old, and I always have this fascination with music and with writing, and so I was huge into writing poetry and writing songs. And so finally, I was given this outlet to write something meaningful and personal and kind of give it to the world, which is just an amazing opportunity. And then, so when it comes to the Netflix show, I was in South Florida in school. I was taking organic chemistry too, genetics. I mean, just like you name it, like all of these tough classes, drowning in schoolwork. And I booked this movie, this other Lifetime movie. So I was filming that and in school at the same time. So I was driving to Miami, filming, driving back, taking an exam. It was nuts. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So I was super busy, but I love staying busy. So while I was on set, there was this guy there who said, hey, like, you need to tap into the Atlanta market. Because I was in LA, I was in South Florida, that Miami market, but I haven't explored the Atlanta market. And Atlanta, as you probably know, is the hub of film right now. I mean, everything films there. And I said, okay, like, what do I do? And he's just like, just send emails. So I go home that day. I send emails to 5 different agents, 3 respond. And then I hop on a phone call 3 days later with one of the agents. I was like, okay, this agent seems awesome. And then literally a month later, I booked the Netflix series. So, I attribute that to just, you know, just getting out there, and like that can be, broaden into another theme, which is just like, you have to just put yourself out there. I mean, it's a shot in the dark, essentially, but if you don't try, you never know. I mean, if I wouldn't have sent those emails, like, I wouldn't be here right now, you know? And yes, call it a stroke of luck, call it whatever you want, but it was an incredible turn of events, because I was ready to just stay home, stay in Florida, and just go to school. But because of this, I mean, it was amazing. And when I booked this, actually, the audition process is really funny, because I really like politics, and I was working in DC at the time. I have several interests. It's crazy. So I'm completely branched out. Call me a Renaissance man, if you will.
No, but I want to, I'm going to let you finish the story, but I want to just say 2 things before we keep moving on. Sorry. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt, but this is a really good point. The first one is, you mentioned where you just took action. You sent an email out and you said, call it luck. I want to highlight that when you do take that action, it's never luck. If you're sending out those emails, if you're doing whatever you're doing. And the reason why I keep trying to bring out, and sort of, you'll notice, like, when I speak through some of the things, I try and just bring out the context so that it's applicable to more the wider audience than somebody who's trying to go into acting. Yeah. I like to bring out, like, those lessons, like those life lessons.
Yeah.
So when, you know, the theme here is you're taking action, you basically are putting yourself out there, and things are coming your way, and people look at the end result. People look at, you know, I'm not sure if Tweet was considered a big production, but it's still something under your credit. And then you have I Am Frank, you have Sweet Magnolia. So now you're on Netflix. Like, So people look at you like, oh my God, he's so young. Like, how did he become so successful? It's not luck. It's just you keep doing and you keep putting yourself and you keep taking actions. And then this is the end result of those actions. These are like, you know, the stars are aligning only because you're making the effort. You're putting in the work.
Definitely.
And that's the result. I just want to double down on that, because like, I think you don't give yourself enough credit, because the amount of people that don't take action and expect results is too damn high.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I just wanted to sort of to double click on. But yeah, sorry. Continue. It was a good story.
You're exactly right. Like I said, when I was in LA for around a year, and just, things were just rough. I mean, it was so bad. And then I came home and kind of just reevaluated everything and talked to my family. I was like, you know, I'm going back to school. I can't do this anymore. And I just have to give shout outs to like all my friends who didn't go back home and didn't do the thing I did and are staying out there and living their dream. I did eventually go back out there because work brought me back out there. But I did. I mean, I essentially gave up, if you will. But through just when I was home, I kind of just mentally cleared my head and just realized, like, no, that this is my passion, and that's why I kind of started getting back out there again. And the results have been incredible, just because of like you said, just putting myself out there and not really caring about the consequences, because acting in life is just a game of rejection, and everyone experiences it. And luckily, I've been fortunate to have had more yeses, or had several yeses in my short career. But I guarantee you, down the road, there's going to be a lot more no's.
But it's still about you know, it's a numbers game at the end of the day.
Exactly.
You'll appreciate this. I was since you're into politics, I was speaking to Anthony Scaramucci. And one of the life lessons, the insights that he gave over was, it was a baseball analogy, but the long story short is really just, if you go up to bat, you know, 100 times and say you hit 5 home runs or whatever, it's, you're still hitting 5 home runs, right? So that's much better than somebody going up to bat 10 times and hitting 3 home runs, even though they're batting average, you know what I mean? So, and he said it much more eloquently than me, and I'm not actually a huge baseball fan. So, but I just wanted to, I'm Toronto, I'm hockey. So like, bear with me here, but still, it doesn't matter how many times you try, it matters the results. Really. That's it at the end of the day. So if you sent out 2,000 emails and you got one Netflix series, and then somebody sent out 100 and maybe they got something that's a little bit less, I don't know, spectacular, as part of like their 100 emails they sent out, you still come out on top. And in life, you have unlimited chances to do, right? You have unlimited chances to put yourself out there, you came back, you took a break, whatever, you mentally reset, but you didn't quit. That's the thing. So you kept going.
Baseball analogy, not everything's our home runs too. Like sometimes you hit singles, you know?
Yeah.
Like, especially in acting, like Tweet was a single, you know, it put me on first base, put me on the map. And then later on, like, okay, maybe you hit a double and then a run scores. So
yeah,
things happen in incrementally. It's not necessarily a home run, but like everything is a notch in your belt, is a credit on your resume. And that's what counts. I know I have a friend who's just, she's one of the most talented actresses I know. And it's been rough. It's been hard for her. She can't book anything. But what she did was like, you know, screw it, I'm going to work in production. So now she's writing scripts. Now she's PAing on set. Now she's helping lighting and stuff like that. And it's incredible, because she loves the industry so much and she wants to stay connected. And I know, like, for her, the next thing is around the corner. You guys will all know her name in 5 years, because she's so dedicated and works so hard. And that's incredible. You know, you just have to kind of take those baby steps, learn your passion inside and out, from in front of the camera and behind the camera. I mean, whatever you do.
No, it's very good. So you mentioned that's sort of how you got into music. It was like accidentally, on purpose. But you just, you know, and that's good. Now for Netflix, for Sweet Magnolias.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins. And I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it.
each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works, one data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/ScottClary. That's netsuite.com/ScottClary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours? That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there, and maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay. And what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real. There are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professionals to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.
I don't know if you touched on that, but maybe just a little bit more about how that came to light, how that opportunity came to light. You said you were emailing or a whole bunch of people and this sort of opportunity presented itself. How do you secure something like this? Because I'm pretty sure a Netflix show is it just an email? And then they say, yeah, we like you. We watched your demo reel. And you know, we want you on, or is there more to it than that? Cause I think Netflix is where people are trying to go right now.
Yeah. It's way bigger. It's way harder than that. So I sent an email to an agent and, several agents, and a couple responded, and I ended up signing with, one of the agents. And then, so, agents get you auditions. So, now it's basically everything's kind of virtual. So you put yourself on tape, read a scene, and then send it to the casting director, and then they evaluate and see if you get a call back, etc. So I was the audition process for Sweet Magnolias. I was working in DC for a congressman, and so I got this audition, and then I get home from working in the on Capitol Hill, and set up my iPhone, have a call somebody at the same time, so they're reading the lines while recording. So it's all over, like, over FaceTime while recording, and I do the lines while using like a coat rack as an eye line. And so I send that in, and then a couple days later I hear that I got a call back. So from DC I fly to Atlanta, and then I get to do the call back, and then I got the role. But preparing for that call back is really it's really nerve-wracking, because you go into a room with five producers, directors, writers, and you just gotta do the scene, and you walk in, you walk out. And I can tell you right now, like, I never prepared. I knew I was right for the role, and so I prepared so much for that one audition or one callback. And going in there, I kind of like to look at auditioning as like handing someone a gift, because like this is my craft, and no one is gonna read that script or perform that role like I am, because I'm unique. So I created this gift, I handed it to them, and I walked out. And luckily they resonated with it, and I booked the role. And that was just it was an incredible experience. And working with everyone on that show was just completely surreal, because I'm working with these people that have been in the industry forever. I mean, you look at people like Heather Headley, who is a Tony winner and a Grammy winner, or Joanna Garcia Switcher, who has been on everything from Reba to Pretty Little Liars, Gossip Girl. Like, it's just been working with these people and seeing the way they operate is how I become better as an individual, and also better as an actor, because watching them act, you get something. You just kind of, you learn through osmosis essentially when you're on set, whether it's asking questions to the director, the producers, the cinematographer, all of that attributes to just gaining more knowledge and learning the craft better. I know our director Norman, who's just one of the most brilliant individuals. He would give me a recommendation for a movie, and I'd go home and I'd watch it, and then I'd come back and we'd discuss it. And that's how I learned probably more about cinema than I ever had in my whole entire life before that. I would watch the movie, we'd come back, and we would discuss, and like discuss the themes, discuss the acting, discuss the cinematography, discuss different shots and the symbolism between everything. And learning what I learned there was so consequential to developing, I mean, my act, like who I am as an actor and who I am as who I am as a person. I mean, movies are like books. They you can learn so much through them. It's just in a different light. And I'm fascinated with when movies teach me something. And I love that. Like, for example, the movie Good Morning Vietnam is kind of like has influenced my view on entertainment in general. I love how in that movie Robin Williams is there, he's the entertainer, and he's entertaining these people who are in the Vietnam War, and he doesn't realize what an influence he's having until he stops being that radio host. And that's my view on entertaining. Like, I want to be that form of escapism to someone. I want to someone going through that hard time to turn on the television and or turn on the TV and see my face and get relief from that. I love that, and that's why I tried to not be controversial and try to be kind of shooting straight, because I want people to see me as that form of escapism, like in Good Morning Vietnam.
That's a really self-aware view. I appreciate that a lot. I've never really, when you say it, it makes a lot of sense, but I don't think I've ever heard it phrased that way from somebody who is in entertainment. Like to understand, I guess, the influence that they have, because being self-aware is very important.
Yeah.
And to miss out on that, I think is why a lot of people get into trouble online and not just in entertainment, anybody who has any sort of influence who just doesn't understand how people perceive them.
Totally.
Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
No, you're good. I totally agree with people who want to establish a platform and use their platform to push policies or push ideas that they believe in. I totally respect that. But for me, my ideology and my vision for myself as a public figure and as an actor is I want that to be that form of escapism. And that's what I've established as my ideology, and that's what I'm going to pursue.
See, that's very noble. And I really do hope that you carry that through, because I think that for better or for worse, probably for worse, people either don't establish that and they don't understand that if you're going to have that level of influence, you do have to have a brand. And a brand is not a cheap thing. A brand is something that you embody in everything that you do.
Totally.
And even like, that's something that I've sort of, even with this podcast, I've tried to figure out and struggle with, because I like speaking to so many different types of people. And then that's why I sort of double down on these agnostic lessons, because I want to tap into entrepreneurs. I want to tap into the arts. I want to tap into politicians. And I want to take the insights from the gamut of things that I just find interesting and impressive, and people that have done stuff with their life, and like pull out those life lessons, because that's how I learn. Yeah. I like, my background is in sales and marketing and whatnot, but I like reading books. I like watching, you know, YouTube, I love, you know, podcasts, Netflix, like so many things you can learn out of that are not just in line with what I've done in my career. Right. There's so many other things that you can pull out of a successful individual. Like that's really what I hope to achieve with this podcast. So I've sort of also tried to do that, but I appreciate that you've consciously thought through it, and like everything you're putting out, that's like who you are. That's your persona. It's very impressive. That's very good.
Thank you so much. And I hope I can help you accomplish your goal with this podcast.
No, you are. You really are, because I think that there's a lot of lessons that as I sort of ask questions, I just ask questions that I would want to understand. That's really it. And then I try and sort of be that I guess that context provider, because I'm the layman in most circumstances. And I understand to a point. Like I understand enough where like I'm dangerous, but I don't understand all the way. So like I try and bring out a couple extra things. Yeah. It's very good. So that makes a lot of sense. Let's understand where do you think, or for an actor or for yourself, what is the next step after being on a Netflix series? Where do you want to take a career? Where would it be smart for someone to take a career that wants to build a presence? Is this the point where people start coming to you and you no longer have to go out and find things? Is that, are you at that point yet or not?
I don't think so. No. The goal is to get to that point. But I think right now, I think the age of movie stars are dead. I think it's never been easier to be a working actor. I was told that by someone I really respect like 4 years ago, because there's so many platforms now. You have all the streaming services. You still have all the network TV, which looks like it's kind of dying out, but you have all like indie films and feature films. So there's never been easier to be a working actor. But that being said, there's so many more people auditioning, and there's so much more talent brought to life now because of this information age. So my next step would be just figuring out what I want my career to look like. So I've been sitting down with my manager a lot, and we're talking about what are the next steps. And we've established that I think this year we're going to make the decisions. We want to accept the projects that are going to make me look better and to groom me into the actor I want to be. I want to be a respected actor. I don't want to sit on a television series like I can't remember the name, but like Grey's Anatomy for 12 years. Like I don't want to do that. I hate sitting still, and I hate doing the same character for 12 years. So I think we want to groom me into one of those award-winning actors. I want to be groomed into an indie film actor that acts in these really high budget or medium budget films that will go make the rounds at Sundance or the Oscars, hopefully. But that's my goal, and that's my vision. I think we have to accept the roles or audition for the roles that are going to push me to that goal. And so, I mean, going back, making the broader theme here is establishing that goals and knowing who you want to be seen as and who you want to be known as. And I think we established that. And Sweet Magnolias has been an amazing blessing because it's pushing me towards that goal. And the show has been amazing, and the response from the show has been absolutely incredible. And I think, yeah, this is a huge, like, this was a home run, but it's also a stepping stone to accomplishing more goals that I want to do.
Do you think that the future of media in general is more focused on Netflix and streaming? Or do you think that, like, what is that path for somebody who is in acting? Because I completely agree. It's never been easier to at least have influence. I don't know much about the process, the intricacies. You mentioned some of them in becoming like that movie star or that actor, so to speak. But to have influence, to have a digital platform, and then we start blurring the lines of, like, what is a movie star? Is, you know, somebody who has 20 million subscribers on YouTube, when do they start crossing over into traditional? Because they're content creators, and they have a massive audience, but they're not traditional, the traditional way, right? But also, then you have actors that are focused on more Netflix now as opposed to other production companies. So where do you think is the future just a mishmash of everything? And the person that can understand all the channels, the mediums, is going to be the one who wins.
Yeah, I think that latter statement is probably the most correct, because gaining influence it sells. So I know several people with huge social media followings that are it's easier for them to book, because no matter where they go, they're seeing they bring a following with them, which is huge. And I know for me, I don't want to be seen as another social media personality. I want to be seen as an actor and as a serious actor. So when it comes to pushing different socials or YouTube and stuff, I'm not highly invested in that, because I want my work to speak for itself, not my Instagram profile. But like you said, I think it's definitely a mix of it all, because the person who understands how to correctly balance all of that will definitely be uber successful, because viewers are everywhere. I mean, they're on YouTube, they're on Instagram, they're on TV, they're on Netflix, they're on streaming, and whatever you can do to entertain or captivate those viewers you're going to get paid for it, and you're going to grow an audience.
I appreciate that, and I think that also there's other ways that create that. You know, you mentioned about being an escape for people when they see your face. I think that it's also important to create a very intimate connection, which I find that social media is easier to do than like a movie per se. Like when you have a Netflix or a movie or even like a TV series, you don't feel a connection with like the person, but you see the people. Like, I'm just thinking of one off the top of my head, like even like The Rock or something like that. Like, you know, like he's putting his stuff out. He's on Snapchat. He's doing Instagram live streams. Like he's doing all this stuff that's like social, but he's still known for the stuff that he's known for. But it's like so I think that the difference is where you create your main content, where your main platform is, and then you use everything else like sort of augment your personality and be more personable. That's my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I know for like when I talked to my manager a lot of how to establish myself like as a brand on social media. And that's exactly what I said. I wanted to be, I want people to see who I am. When they watch me on TV, like I want them to come over here and get like social media and get to know me. I'm not going to post those extremely polished pictures, extremely Photoshop pictures, because I think that's so 2015, so 2014.
Yeah.
Right now, the people who are growing a lot on social media are the ones that are just sharing what they're doing right now, or what if they're taking a selfie at dinner, yeah, something like that, and just making funny content and interesting content that I think fans really resonate with, because they're seeing who they are, who the celebrities are as an individual. And
yeah,
I like that idea too, because I want people to know me as a person, but also as like the entertainer.
Yeah, no, I think that's important. So the only thing I wanted to ask, like, I guess, what are you going to, because after I ask this, I'm just going to ask like some life lesson questions that I like to bring out from people.
Yeah.
What would you like to focus on? Because obviously, between them, like, is it going to be the music? Is it going to be more acting? Is it both? I don't think you're going to. Are you going to go finish your master's, PhD, whatever? Are you going to go practice? So what is your game plan for the next 5 years? Say?
Game plan for the next 5 years. So in regards to music, that music is more like something personal to me. I'm not making it for any person. I'm just making it because I love to make it, and what I write about in my songs are personal to me, and it's not geared towards becoming the next you name it vocal artist. It's just because I'm writing what I want to write, and I'm producing what I want to produce. So that's a lot different than me to acting. I definitely see that future in, and like I said, my goal in the next 5 years is probably to be in those films and be recognized as a professional in that acting arena. But yeah, so that's hopefully the goal in the next 5 years. Book a couple more movies, a couple more shows. Yeah, and just trying to establish myself a good reputation in Hollywood.
Very good. No, that's good. Okay, so I guess life lesson questions. First one I like to ask. If you could give over one life lesson that you've learned across your career that would help anybody, just accelerate their career a little bit quicker, maybe manage their life a little bit better, be happier, whatever it may be, just one really strong life lesson, what would it be?
Yeah. Okay. So Norman Buckley, the director of our show, said this thing to me after I made a stupid mistake on set. He said, humiliation is one of the greatest teachers. And I kind of edited that to say humiliation and failure are some of the greatest teachers. Because I know for me, I'm very, I'm out there. Like I kind of put myself out there, like I said, and see the results. And I've been humiliated. I've humiliated myself several times. And probably a better term would be self-humiliation. Because I've done some stupid things, and then I was extremely embarrassed by it. I'd make apologies for them and stuff like that. But that taught me some valuable lessons. And same thing with failure. So I would say self-humiliation and failure are some of the greatest teachers.
But also you, the point you made is learn from that.
Yeah.
That's the major thing. So don't just keep making the mistakes.
Exactly.
But that's a good one. That's a very good one. I've heard that said different ways, but I've never heard humiliation, because failure is a teacher. Humiliation is something is an enormous teacher. Yeah. It's a different feeling.
And I know when our director Norman said that, I went home and was just thinking about it all night, because it sounds controversial, but when put it in a specific instance, can be extremely, extremely helpful. And it can groom you to mature faster and in aspects that you never thought you could.
And I think that it's fair to say that there's not a single person out there that hasn't screwed something up or been absolutely embarrassed about something they've done. So, you know, leverage that feeling and take it with you and make yourself better because of it.
Yeah, definitely.
And another thing that I would love to pick your brain about and ask you about a resource, a book, a podcast, a person, something that you enjoy to learn from. It could be a movie, it could be Netflix, I don't care. Just some context about how you've sort of incorporated that or learned from it, and obviously as a resource for other people too to learn from.
Yeah. So this is my favorite book. It's a lot of people have read it probably in high school. It's called The Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
It's my all-time favorite book. I've read it several times. And it's a brilliant book. I mean, there's so many themes hidden throughout that novel that are just mind-boggling. And that's why I find myself reading it over and over again, because every time I catch something new. But the overall premise and the overall theme of that is this aspect of innocence and how the lead, Holden Caulfield, is trying to hold on to this innocence, and he can't let it go. And in the end, this is probably spoiling because I haven't read it, but his younger sister, who is kind of this symbol for innocence throughout the whole book, and yeah. she steps on this carousel and reaches for the golden ring. And in the book, he says he was going to go grab her and save her from falling, but she grabbed it, and then that's kind of how the book ends. And the idea being that if you try to coddle this innocence and try to hold on to it, you're not going to accomplish anything. You have to reach for that golden ring in order to do something. And I love that theme. And I don't think people read the book and they're like, oh, wow, this is depressing. This is, this is like seriously dark. But if you understand the concept of the book, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. So give that a read, and honestly, look up on, you can just look up on the internet, the themes in it, because I look up the themes beforehand and then read the book, because understanding the way that, he articulates these themes are just brilliant. And I love that book.
I like that example a lot. That's not a book that I normally hear. I know the book. I think I also read it in high school. It's been around for some time now. But I like that you pulled out those themes, because I think we hear those themes like so often. Like you always hear, like, if you don't go for it, you'll never, like, saying if you don't take action, you know, you're never gonna achieve. So it's been said like a million different ways. You remove innocence, but it's also like you're removing ignorance, and you're removing all the things that like stop you from moving forward. So I think that's a really, really good lesson. And I forgot about that book completely. I haven't even thought about that book for years. So that's I like that you brought that up. That is a classical example.
Yeah, and in the whole book, I mean, Holden is established as this depressed, this he thinks he's just better than everyone else because he's not he feels trapped. And the thing is, he's trying to coddle this innocence. And the reason why that book is so immense in the aspect of that simple theme that we hear so many times is because it broadens this character in this narrative that this main character is depressed, and he's not doing anything, and he's not doing anything in his life, but he thinks he is, but he's not. And so he doesn't realize to the very end of the book that he actually needs to reach for that golden ring in order to do something. And that's why it's so powerful, because if you just say, put yourself out there and good things will happen, it doesn't hit as much as when you have this 100 and 200 page book that talks for 190 pages about the consequences of not reaching for it.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. I like that one a lot. Okay. That's all I got. If people want to learn more about what you're working on, connect with you, or, you know, website, Instagram, where do they go? YouTube?
Yeah. I just at Carson Roland on Instagram and Twitter.
That's all for today. Thanks again for joining me on another episode of the Success Story Podcast. You can download or stream this podcast wherever podcasts are available, including iTunes, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and many others. You can also watch this podcast on YouTube. If you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends, family, coworkers, and peers. Please leave us a rating on iTunes. It takes about 30 seconds, as it allows other people to find our podcast and lets our amazing guests reach even more people with their message. And remember, any rating is fine as long as it contains 5 stars. I'm Scott Clary from the Success Story Podcast, signing off.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins. And I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/ScottClary. That's netsuite.com/ScottClary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours. That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive. And I bet you we've all been there. And maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay. And what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real. There are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professionals to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.